a beautiful embrace to realize that we serve a God that has included us in what's most important to his heart, which is establishing his kingdom of righteousness and peace and justice on a planet where that was all forfeited through what our forefathers gave up in the Garden of Eden when they sinned and fell short of what God told them. And he loves us enough to rescue us from the kingdom of darkness, which is awesome, but not only that, but to then place us into the kingdom of the Son of his love, Jesus, and to include us in his final plan to shine not just a light or a candle, but a bright light into the darkness that surrounds us. And I don't know of a greater privilege any of us could have than to know where we're going. When you look around, at least when I look around, I don't see people that know where they're going. I see so much confusion, so much frustration and pain and anxiety and fear. And yet we know where we're going. We know who has saved us. We know who has called us. We know who has sanctified us and set us apart, and who has promised to us the final destination of an eternity in the place that Jesus went to prepare for us. Who thinks Jesus is preparing a pretty good place? If you look around at the creation and you're as impressed as I am with what he made and now what's under the curse of sin, imagine what he's been preparing for us in the place where there is none of those curses and no death, just eternal life and peace and the glory of the Father. He's been working on it for a little while. I hope your heart's excited this morning. I hope that there's a peace that's starting to take root inside who you are, the spiritual part of you, because that's what's going to sustain us through all that we're going through. And I just hope that this morning you were encouraged. I know I sure was from the worship. This seems to be pretty much anyone I speak to says that the last month to 2 months has been the most crazy they've seen ever. Is that true for anybody else besides? It's really something. And I take courage in that. As we were singing, "You are good. Good. Oh, you are good." I could just sense, because you know the enemy wants to paint God in a bad light. He wants us to blame him. He wants his creation to blame him for everything that's broken, that came because sin broke it. Not because he broke it, because sin broke it. The curse of sin is death. Creation has been broken, but Jesus has come to bring it back and to recreate it into something brand new that's just glorious. It's incredible. And the creation itself yearns for the revealing of those who would dare to believe this message. He has promised us this place, and we access it by faith, and we can just boldly come right into it. And it doesn't matter how crazy it gets, but I know it's gotten crazy. In my own world, it's one thing when as a pastor you hear everybody else's worlds, kind of get these moments of compaction, but when it starts to hit your own life, you realize, all right, a minute, something incredible is on the very, we're probably already starting into it. I feel like there's already a step, it just hasn't maybe come down into it yet, but the enemy is aware of this, and he is not happy about it, but there's nothing he can do to ultimately stop it. I just want to be included in those who move forward by faith and do not shrink back to perdition. That choice, you can pick the foot up and it can go this way or this way. I just hope in your heart this morning you're encouraged to put the foot forward, because I know that's where everything good is. Oh, well, we have, I don't know, a powerful testimony about just that fear that our sister Lois shared with us. And she needed to do that during worship because she's downstairs serving our children. And I don't know about you, but I'm thrilled to know that that's the kind of person that's teaching my children about walking strong in the life that's in front of them. Thank you. But that all traces back to a conversation I had with Pastor David Cordo about there's some testimonies coming out of the supernatural class that's happening every Sunday morning at 9 o'clock downstairs. And that was one of the testimonies. There's another one that he's going to call upon. But as I just was interacting with him, I just felt, you know, there's so much going on and stuff hitting my own life where it would be so easy to get into fear. And it's going to be a constant fight against fear. There's one person we fear, and it's God. There's only one fear that's allowed in your life as a believer. It's the fear of the Lord, because it's the beginning of wisdom, and that's where your strength is. Because if you're fearing the Lord, you don't have room for the fear of man or the fear of the world or the fear of death or all the other fears that are so prevalent, right? We fear God only. We don't fear man or what they can do to us. We fear the Lord. But in this conversation, I just realized there's so many folks that really need to understand that there's faith, and there's fear. And I've been saying a lot about don't be afraid, don't let your heart be troubled. The words of Jesus to us that we're going to have difficulty and let's get through it. But I just felt like, you know, it's coming from another voice, someone who is my senior by more than 10 years, more than 20 years, and they'll probably just stop there someplace. But my senior in the faith, Pastor David Cordeau and Nolia have been fruitful ambassadors of the kingdom of light on this planet for decades upon decades. And if there's someone that's going to speak to this issue of fear, I felt like this morning was a time when I would ask him, and this was only last night in the late evening, and he took it a little while, so I'm sure he prayed and fasted for about 15 minutes and then said, no, and he's always saw the text and boom, right there. Would just love a chance to share what he shared with his class that led to some of the testimonies that one we've heard, another we'll hear, because I don't know of a more important subject right now. It's fear that distracts us from the blessing that God has for every single one of our lives if we'll just dare to continue to keep our eyes upon Jesus. And so quickly he said, yeah, I'd be happy to share that message. So he's just preached his heart out for an hour downstairs to the class, and now he's going to come. And I know the way he shares, he's not going to just give us half of what he's got left. He's going to give us a full tank worth of Holy Spirit-filled teaching and impartation on this issue of overcoming fear. So Pastor David Cordeau, would you come this morning and just bless us? We thank you for your willingness to be here with us and to share with us.
Praise the Lord. If I can get Tammy to come up and share her testimony. She's in the School of Supernatural with us. Lois just shared hers. And this is just some of the testimonies. But God is doing great and mighty things. Just come on up here. Amen. We appreciate they're part of Team Supernatural. They're serving all the time.
Okay. Well, as I'm sitting over there praising, I said, Lord, how am I supposed to follow her testimony? Because mine, to me, is silly. Yeah. And he said, fear is fear. What we make of it is because of us. But he says, fear to him is fear. And fear creates torment. And I've been in torment for 50 years. I was 10 years old. We lived in New Jersey. And all we knew was cockroaches, as ugly as it sounds. That's all I knew. When we came here, upstate New York, to the woods. I saw every creature that you could see. And I was fearful. But this one time, our parents had this tree, and the moths were just everywhere. And it scared the daylights out of me, that I had that fear in me for so long. That every creature, anything, a bug, whatever it was, it feared. I was so full of fear that I even carried it through to my children. So that's a curse that I had on me that I carried through my children, to my grandchildren. So one day they finally said, no, I'm not going to have that fear anymore. Well, I was downstairs and David said, whoever wants to be set free from fear, come up. I walked up there as the 10-year-old girl, crying my eyes out that I couldn't stop crying. Uncontrollably crying, Lord, I don't want this anymore. I don't want this fear of things. And also, I had fear of people, too, because I had things in my life as a child, too, and I didn't think I was loved, and I didn't know the Lord, but I do know him now, and I know that was just a lie from the devil. But anyway, I went up there, and I've been set free. The one thing I have to say, though, like Elaine said, our faith is tested. Monday, I went to work, and I go in my car. I read my word. I do whatever I want for my time on lunch. I roll my windows down. Don't you know, a big moth flies in my car. Normally, I would have screamed, got out of the car, went running. I said, you know what? I don't care. You can stay there. I don't care. You can stay there all you want. But you know what? God set me free. And then, days later, I was at an atmosphere where there was tons of moth. And I said, you know what? You don't bother me. So that's my testimony. Oh, okay. The other thing with the cat, too. I had a fear of cats because I was attacked by a cat when I was younger. It wasn't funny at the time. I was walking up my husband's stairs at his parents' house, and a cat came behind me and clawed me in my backside and hung there. So ever since then, I was afraid of cats. Well, my daughter Shannon has a cat, and my daughter Michelle has a cat. I started saying, you know what, Lord? I trust you. I know I'm set free. So I started petting the cat. My daughter's cats are crazy. My other daughter's cats are crazy. They're crazy. So I said, you know what, Lord? I'm going to sit here. I'm going to call it over. I'm going to pet it. And I did. And I'll tell you what, I'm free. Oh, and the other thing is, too, God's word says in 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. And I can happily say I have it.
Praise God. Hallelujah. I was bringing this over from my water bottle. I said, I'll sit on it a little while. Amen. God is good. Amen. God is so great. I'm glad what God is doing. We're seeing so many miracles and healings and people delivered of physical healings. And remember, the Bible says that he wants us to prosper and be in health, even as our soul prospers. If our soul, which our mind, will, and emotion, is eaten up with fear, it'll affect your finances, it'll affect your body. Tell me about a friend you have that worries all the time. You just told me about your friend that's always sick, right? Amen. So let's go to the Word of God. Pastor asked me to share this, and I'm glad to do it. We measured in the School of Supernatural just a few weeks ago. Many people are touched by this, and not just in there. They're in other nations listening to us live on Facebook. Then later it's on the YouTube channel. I have like 110 supernatural messages on that that's being listened to. So let's go to a good scripture, 2 Peter chapter 1. I think I just heard it, but let's do it again. And we'll be talking about overcoming fear. You do not have to be tormented by fear. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7, as you just heard. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. Praise God. And so I tell people that sound mind is not hearing voices. Okay? Amen. He's given us a whole mind, a sound mind. And so God is doing great things in this area. And it's necessary to be free of fear. I tell people even small fears. It may be just a little small fear that you say that does not amount to anything. But when I teach people to operate in the supernatural, they have to lay aside. The Bible said lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us. And some things are outright sin, but some things are a weight. It's going to hold us down. If you want to move in the spirit, be clear in the spirit. Even a small fear, it may, you know, I'm not talking about going to heaven. You can go to heaven with a lot of fear. I realize that. But I'm talking about being tormented your whole life. And I'll share even some of my own personal testimonies. And so small fears, take care of them. And fear is a hindrance. It hinders our flow in the spirit. It hinders being able to clearly hear the voice of God. And let's go to Proverbs chapter 3. You have to, excuse me, I have not got to electronic preaching yet. Amen. One of these days I'll get brave. Amen. I've been mugged by my computer so many times. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. And so we should trust in the Lord with all our heart. Fear and faith oppose each other. They're the opposite. And as Pastor brought out earlier, that word fear, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and it's translated different places in the Hebrew and in the Greek. In some places it means reverence to God. Other places it means a terror to God. But we live in a society that has pretty well no fear of God, no reverence of God, and they're not afraid that God would do what God said he would do. And so it has that, but fear has torment. And yes, you can go to heaven, but why be tormented your whole life? Why be miserable your whole life? So let's go to Matthew chapter 6. I'm going to show you the Word of God that worry is fear. I've adapted some new vocabulary over the years. I think I picked it up from my two sons. Every time somebody comes up, they said, it's going to be okay, Dad. It's going to be okay, Dad. And so now I tell my wife, no matter what comes up, it's going to be okay. It'll be okay. Because I've got a God. I don't care what it looks like. It'll be okay. Praise God. And so Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to begin with, Jesus is speaking here. I didn't write this. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, and what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. here's the answer, verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. So the answer is to seek first the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, his righteousness. Seek him first. Amen. If God is first, most of the society we live in is seeking things. But we should seek God. I put it on Facebook just recently, it's okay. It's okay to have things as long as things do not have you. Seek first him. Go after God, and he'll take care of all the things. He won't just give you your needs. He'll give you the desires of your heart. That's nearly another message. I'll just read it to you. In Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 8, he told Jeremiah, do not be afraid of their faces, for I'm with you to deliver you, says the Lord. God said, do not fear their faces. He said, don't fear the faces of men. Later in the chapter, he says, I'll confound you before them. A powerful prophet evangelist that mentored me over the years, when he first began to mentor me, one of the first things he said to me, actually, I was on a very long, extended fast. I was finishing up. It's actually one of the saddles off of Wittenberg Mountain up there by myself, walking among the trees, praying, seeking God. And God said, you're going to use that man of God. Hardly knew. I shook his hand a couple of times to help my ministry go into the supernatural. I didn't come out to fast call him, but weeks later, he came in a meeting. He walked up to me, began to prophesy to me, and he said, start praying this prayer, and I still pray it. God, deliver me from the faces of men and unto you. Because I had a lot of fear of men. Amen. I dealt with rejection. We set people free of rejection. All that. We have a healing and deliverance meetings that's going on in a regular basis around here. Amen. Invitation. They're inviting certain people. And we set people free. Most of Team Supernatural went through it with me directly. And we set them free of these things. Amen. But I had a lot of that. When I began to teach it, I was setting myself free also. So I had to be delivered of the faces of men, caring what men were saying. I'm a man of authority. I'm under authority. I've been ordained under Pastor Rod Parsley for decades. I'm in this house. Amen. I'm also ordained under my own 501c3. It's just a safety valve they make you do. Amen. But the thing is, I'm under authority, but I'm a man of authority, just like the man in the Bible. And because we're under authority, we can operate in authority. It comes from God. It flows through God-ordained authority to me. Praise God. And so I believe in authority. I'm not a rebel. I think Pastor can tell you that. I used to bother him all the time. This one wants this. This one wants that. It's okay. If I said, just do what you want to, I trust you. Go ahead and do it. You know? So I did. Amen. Still doing it. Praise God. But anything out of the ordinary, I check with him and filter through him. I don't just run off and do my own thing. But the thing is, I believe in authority, but I do not fear the faces of men. Amen. People, religious people would try to cower you down. And one of the translations, I won't read it all to you right now, for fear in the Bible has to do with cowardice, being coward, being timid. It's black and white in their translation. And the thing is, I worried about the face of men. We go to meetings. Am I dressed okay? Is my suit okay? Do I have the right tie? You know, I'm going to be accepted of blood. I'm accepted of blood. I'm so delivered from that stuff. Praise God. But I believe in authority. I preach authority. You ask anybody in my class. So people are trying to control you, manipulate you. And any control outside the bounds of the Word of God is nothing, at the very least, is low-level witchcraft. Don't let them do that. I'm just going to put you under pressure, make you do what I want to do. If you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to pout a while. I'm going to stomp. I'm going to slam a door. Not going to affect me. I'm free. I'm a free man. Hallelujah. And so don't let people try to manipulate and control you to do their own things. We live in a day, and I'm going to read several things to you in a little bit, but wives are afraid of their own husbands. Husbands are afraid of their wives in some cases. And some of you know I was in law enforcement for right? 6 years in Beaumont, Texas. At that time, it's sitting 120,000, a little lower now. But we used to get calls, a man beating his wife. One day I get a call, a woman beating her husband. We get there, and man, that woman had a stick, and it looked like her eyes were that wide across. I mean, she was short, stocky like that. That man was scared to death. Amen. But we live in a society that many men are afraid of their wives. Many wives are afraid of their husbands. No one has the authority to tell you to sin against God. I have a whole authority thing I teach on this, the big umbrella. Amen. I won't get all the details of that. You've been in my marriage class, which we have coming up on the 23rd on Saturday. Amen. From 10 to 3, bring a bag of lunch, no children. It's adult material. Amen. I assure you. If you don't believe me, ask some of the people sitting over here on my right side over there. Amen. Praise God. Nothing bad. Don't worry. It's all good. Parents are afraid of their own children. Parents need to take God's road and not the easy road. They're afraid to tell their children. I mean, how many parents do you know that would tell their children, okay, if you don't want to go to school and learn, you don't have to go to school. It's okay. They wouldn't do that. But they're, oh, if you don't want to go to church, that's okay. No, it's not okay. Proverbs 22:6, train up a child the way he should go. When he's old, he will not depart from it. I believe it. I had 3 grown children. They're all serving God. I believe it. I've held on to that promise that God, you said. You said it, Lord. I claim it. Amen. Hallelujah. Believers are afraid to tell their loved ones. And we're talking about fear. They're afraid to tell their loved ones that they're lost. They need to be saved. They say, well, if I tell them, they're going to get mad. I assure you. Now, I've been caught in third heaven several times. I've been caught away in the spirit realm. I couldn't tell you how many times. Amen. I've been to hell of Luke 16, my warring angels. God gave me a tour in Luke 16 that Jesus talked about. And that rich man that went to hell, he had a memory, excuse me, of his brothers. I got too loud downstairs. Amen. Amen. But he had a memory of his 5 brothers that were lost. And he tried to get the Lord to send someone to knock on the door and tell them this is real. But the Lord said, hey, they had the word of God. They had the preacher. I'm just paraphrasing. If they don't believe that, they will not believe a dead man knocking on their door. I have a whole message I preach called Dead Man Knocking on Your Door. Amen. You say, man, I went to a funeral and they were buried and I saw them and 3 or 4 days later they showed my door knocking. Oh, that scared me and I'd serve God. No, you won't. You won't believe when I'm preaching today, the man of God and the word of God, that'll wear off real quick. It'd be emotional. I've watched people go to seminar and get all hyped up. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. Within a month, they forgot they even went to the seminar. It's got to be in your heart. Love drives you. We go nation to nation. We've been 39 mission trips. And love drives you because if you that have been on the mission field, missions is not easy. You hear the glory stories about the miracles, the cripples walking. We see it right here in the U.S. too. Amen. But the thing is, you don't hear all the hard work and the sweat and the hours of bumpy roads and stuff like that. You don't hear that part of it usually. But love drives you. Love drives you to go, there's another village that never heard. Now there's another village. I'm tired, but I've got to go to this other village. We go to villages that never heard the name of Jesus one time. And they come to Jesus because of signs, wonders, and miracles, just like he did in his ministry. I just try to copy him. So believers are afraid to tell their loved ones how to be saved. And the word fear, I like that acronym we always use, false evidence that appears real. You realize most of the things that we feared in our life never came to pass. We worried about it. We feared about it. We fretted about it. But it never came to pass in most cases. You like spinning your tires in mud. You use a lot of energy and gas. I want to share a couple of testimonies about fear. I have a friend of mine in this area. One time, it's a true story, he was crossing a Kingston Rhinecliff Bridge, and he ran out of gas, and he had to be towed. And after that, he refused to drive over the Rhinecliff Bridge. He go all the way to Poughkeepsie, all the way to Catskill. We had to go across the river. I'm serious, all the way around. And last time I saw him, he was still doing it. I hadn't seen him for about a year now, but that was years ago. He was still doing it then. Amen. Fear. You know, it wasn't the bridge. It was, you didn't put gas in the vehicle. You know what I mean? That little thing up there, however it does it in your vehicle. Amen. But the thing is that fear was tormenting him. Also, another man that I pastored for a while, I'm not naming any names, but he was probably 300-something pounds, you know, solid muscle, big weightlifter. I mean, it looked like he'd go bear hunting with a switch. And I went one time to Lake George and, you know, that leather shop a little south of Lake George. They sell all kinds of souvenirs. Well, I bought me a pasture of paperweight with a rattlesnake in it. You know, it's dead. I put it on my desk. I liked it. You know, I thought it's cute. Boy, he walked in one day. He screamed like a little girl. Ah! He ran backwards out of my office, ran his wife, slammed her into the closet door, turned to run out of the church. Then ran into my mother that was elderly at that time and ran 3/4 of the way across the parking lot just panting. And I went out and apologized. I said, I had no idea. You know, I took it out. I never displayed it again. It's somewhere in my junk, you know. But I said, I'm going to kill somebody. I had no idea. But I said, man, that big guy tried to jump me. I was just waving a little worm or snake, you know. He'll be gone, you know. He's a nice guy, too. Amen. He was in my marriage class one time, and I said, you know, ladies, don't hit your husband with a frying pan like that. He said, she hit me with a baseball bat right in the class in front of everybody. And then when I found out why, I thought, well, I don't blame her either, you know, but I won't go into that. But she did hit him, you know, that big old guy, she beat him down. Praise God. Myself, my own testimony, which I've shared, I had come out of Vietnam War, combat, and even law enforcement. Twice I was nearly shot in the line of duty, very close, and nearly had to use deadly force within a second or so. And I had post-traumatic stress disorder bad. You touch me on the back, I try to swing. I've shared all my testimony. But the thing is, I did not relate that, Pastor, to fear. And one time in a worship service, I'm worshiping God and just enjoying myself in worship. And all of a sudden, the Lord revealed to me, and I realized this post-traumatic stress disorder, because see, sometimes we wore as a badge of honor or something. Well, I have a right to act like this. You don't know what I've seen. You know, I was 19 years old for 6 weeks while I went into combat. You know, I came out of war just a wreck. And I deserve this because I went through this. But in the worship service, God revealed to me his fear. I said, wait a minute. I've been terrorized. People was always trying to kill me. And I have fear. You know how hard it is for a warrior to admit he has fear? Oh, macho man. Yeah. You know, we'll take him out. No, I've got fear. And I quote that scripture. I said, Lord, you didn't give me a spirit of fear, but faith, power, and a sound mind. I'm talking about demon and spirit. I said, Lord, will you just take it away? I went back to worshiping. I'll be very honest, I forgot I even prayed the prayer. A month later, we're back home. I told my wife, I said, I don't jump anymore. I've shared with you how I'd be in my easy chair. My boys finally confessed. They go through, throw a book down or stomp and watch daddy fly out of the easy chair like a cat. Oh, I told her, I don't jump anymore. So I noticed that. She's so happy, probably. Amen. I come out ready to swing, and I catch myself, thankfully. But God delivered me totally from it. You can fire a gun or a firecracker or something behind me. I won't even flinch. And I've had that happen, a backfire of a truck there in the Philippines. I'm preaching away. And I asked him, you know, because as you know, Mindanao, there's 5 Muslim rebel groups and ISIS on the island. I said, don't put the banner up. They keep praying. They show up at the airport with a banner. Welcome, Pastor David Carter. I said, don't put a banner. Don't bring it. They put it all over the fence. I mean, from here to that thing, the big old banner. I don't know how much they spent. I probably bought it and didn't know it. They had a big old banner that I was in there preaching, and a big truck went by and backfired. It had like a 30-06 go off. And I didn't flinch. I stopped there and I said, you saw a miracle, and I explained why before I'd been digging a hole. And I want to tell you about when my dad passed away, he had an outdoor cat. And he left. It was a grown cat, came up grown to his house. And it didn't have a name. My dad, I'd ask him, what's the name of your cat? Cat. No, does it have a name? Cat. Every cat was Cat. So we named it Boudreaux. We gave it a good Southern name, Boudreaux. You like Thibodeau and Babineau and all those does, Cardo. Amen. So we called it Boudreaux. And that cat was grown when it came up. And I've treated that cat good. I'm not a cat man, okay? You know, you see me doing this, what I'm thinking about, you know. But I'm not a cat man, okay? I had that happen one time just off 028. We're eating at a lady's house. We went to God. Her husband had a stroke. He'd sit in front of the stove just drooling and trying to stay warm, and he had cats. And we're at the table, and suddenly he walked over three cats by the tail right over my head, nearly got me, to go throw them out. And she had a fit, of course. I said, "Baby, Lord, I've been feel-aid, you know." But the thing, I treat Boudreaux good. I have an outdoor heated cat house that has the doors that goes in. It lays down on the heating pad. It turns on automatically. It keeps it warm. I have a heated water bowl. I feed it good. But somewhere in kittenhood, that cat was hurt by some human. I don't know where. It was grown when it got to my dad's house. It was an outdoor cat. Thankfully, it wouldn't be around. Amen. My house is for humans. Amen. And Team Supernatural. No, okay. But the thing is, I can walk out one time, it's there to eat by the bow. Another time I walk out, it takes off running, hides under the deck. You see the fear of the cat's eyes. That somewhere in kittenhood, some human hurt it. And it keeps thinking that I'm going to hurt it. I've only treated it good. You know, pastor, I pastor people like that. Treat them good. They're always expecting you to hurt them. You know, you scratch it or flinch it, you know, like this. And some of you have been hurt in childhood. But I'm here to tell you today, you can take the program one step to Jesus. You say, "Well, I'm already saved." I'm not talking about being saved. I'm talking about being delivered. Amen? Amen. Hey, I was saved pastor of church, and I was still bound by post-traumatic stress disorder. I was bound by fear. I was jumping every time I had a chance. Amen. But thank God that he set me free of that torment. And so, anyway, Boudreaux needs a little help. I don't know how long cats live, but she's still there. But so, the Bible, as I said a while ago, the fear of the Lord began to wisdom. I'm going to read a few things to you in a few minutes. At the end, we're going to have Team Supernatural come up. I'm going to give you a simple solution. Nothing complicated. Simple solution. A few very simple steps. This is not complicated. That you could be totally set free today. Could they, "Oh, no, I need to go to therapy." You don't need therapy. You need Jesus. I'm not against therapy, but you know, I don't see Jesus doing a whole lot of counseling. I used to do a lot of counseling. I finally realized people just need to get set free. Amen. And also, when we pray for you, you probably know when I pray, I don't pray a long prayer. You know why? I've already prayed long prayers. I don't call a fast. Somebody come up for a headache. Let's all fast. No, I've already fasted. I've already prayed. Jesus praying fasting when he went to the cities and villages, he commanded it. Some people just want to hear a bunch of just pat me on the back 20,000 times or something. But no, you could be free. And you don't need a long prayer to do it. Jesus spoke, sickness leave, demon come out, whatever it is. And everyone with a spirit of fear does not have a demon. But some people do. They've gone so far, they let themselves go, and they've got taken over by something. They need help. So let me read a few of these. Fear of rejection. Fear of failure. I already talked about fear of the faces of men. Fear of authority figures. Many times we find over the years that that's linked to child abuse as a child. You know, whether it's sexual or other abuse. Many times people struggling with authority have been hurt as a child. And they think all authority is going to hurt them. Hella used to be in my church years ago. Lived somewhere in town. She come to church and said, "Pastor, I heard you in my neighbor's house, apartment next door. You're over there talking about me." The sister, I ain't been near that neighborhood. But she was sure. One time I was on Wednesday night service, and we're getting ready to return tithes and offer the way we used to do it. She jumped up and ran in a circle screaming, and her envelope was tied. She ran up and threw it right in my face and run out of the church. My wife, my associate pastor wife, had to go pick her up on Highway 32 before she got run over by a car. She was going to steal her tithes from God. She thought I knew. I didn't know it. And she blamed me, you know. But fear, always paranoid, always thinking somebody's talking bad about. Get delivered of faces of men. Praise God. That was a night. I think I've seen it all. Something else would happen. Some people have fear of heights. Amen. Fear of flying. I know people that make their husbands drive them all the way to Florida every year because they're afraid to get in an airplane. We can get you free and save you a lot of miles. Amen. Okay. Fear of open spaces. Some people are afraid to even go outside. We mentioned laid up in the Capitol District a while back. Somebody recommended we went over there. And she'd been years in the house, afraid to go outside. I know it's got a long name. I only tried to pronounce it. Don't worry. Amen. Afraid to go outside. And claustrophobia of enclosed places. Fear of insects. Fear of dogs. Man. Of course, I work in Asia. They take puppy chow to a new level. Every time I go to Walmart, somebody got their dog in there. I didn't know they sold Vietnamese food here. I can't help myself. My wife tries to dodge and hide. Right? I know how to pull tricks on my wife. I'm always saying something. Sometimes I make sure no one's around before I say it, and she's just, and she looks, nobody's there to hear what I just said to her. You know, I'm serious. We go through the juice aisle, Pastor, and I'll do that in front of people. I ask my wife, you need some more prune juice? I have too much fun. I won't go into some of the others I ask her, but I wait. Preachers are afraid to name sin. They'll preach against sin, but they won't name it. Because somebody might leave. God bless them. You know, I learned this from Roy Fields right here years ago. He said, don't let the door hit you where the good Lord split you. You blame him for it. He was there. I was every night over here with him. Amen. Pouring into the, they felt it could be something special. We already talked about fear. Say fear of needles, fear of storms, fear of going outside. If we trust the Lord, how can we have these phobias? So let's go to Isaiah as we close. Or start to close. You know what it means? Our preacher says it's closing nothing. We may close 20 times. Isaiah 61, very familiar, 1 through 4. But listen to it carefully as we read this in lieu of fear. The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord has anointed me to preach good tidings to the poor. He sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives. Realize a lot of people with fear are brokenhearted. They're captives. Over the prison, those are bound. They're bound up by that. To proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes. Hey, your life may look like ashes, but he'll make something beautiful out of it. The oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the plan of the Lord, that he may be glorified, and that they shall rebuild the old ruins. In John 8:36, I'm just going to read it to you. Therefore, the Son makes you free. You should be free indeed. If Jesus makes you free, you will be free indeed today. A lot of people say, oh, yeah, one day. No, this day. The Bible said today is the day of salvation. And I try to teach our team supernatural, school to supernatural, quit thinking every time you hear the word saved, we're talking about your soul. That, I put that number one, but body, soul, spirit, and finances. Much like the Hebrews, when the Jews, when they say shalom, nothing lacking, nothing missing. The Word of God said God wants you to prosper. Financially, be in health, even your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions prosper. Praise God that Jesus will set you free in a moment. And so when I hear that word saved, I'm thinking about the whole thing. Their finances, praise God. Their mind not being tormented by paranoia thoughts, being paranoid, and oh, this was going to do this, and this was going to do this, and this was talking about me. They have some altar. There's some people, I'll be honest, I hardly communicate with, because every time you communicate, when they twist everything you said and try to say, well, he said this. Why'd you say that? What? Come on. Amen. That's why it's good to keep copy of certain texts. They come up later, but no, I never said that. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. I've been in the business a long time. And so I'm going to give you the steps, and we're going to go to God, and I'm going to command you to be set free. But as I do this, I'll explain what to do. One thing, as I did, recognize fear. You need to recognize it. Wherever it is, recognize it, face it. As a warrior, I had to face fear and say, I have fear. That's hard for a warrior. Recognize fear. Confess his sin. The Bible said, anything that's not of faith is sin. I'm not talking about going to hell. I'm talking, and I have a whole message on my YouTube, sins not imputed. Because all sins don't put you in hell. The roll call hell sins do. It's very plain in the Bible, but it may have physical or governmental consequences. You know, you may pay a price over it, but you're not going to lose your salvation over it. Amen? It's very hard to lose your salvation. God loves you. He's going to draw and draw and draw. Amen. Confess it as sin. Ask the Lord to remove it and thank him. So today, I want you to shake fear and take a step of faith in a moment. Won't we stand to pray together? We're going to go through these steps. And we'll go through these steps, and I'm going to pray in mass. But what you need to do is shake fear off of you. And recognize it, confess it. And sometimes a lot of things we can just confess to the Lord, he takes care of it. But if you can't get that broken that way, I teach you need to find another human being you can trust. That don't mean Facebook. That a human being you can trust. And confess your sin, your fault. That's biblical, James 5. And so in just a moment, after I go through this and pray for you, we're going to open this altar up, or Team Supernatural will be up here to pray with you. And these people have been traveling with me, working miracles, seeing the realm of the Spirit, awesome things they've been doing, because that's what we do. We teach. We don't just teach. We teach, impart, and mentor. We bring them into that. You need a spiritual coach to bring you into some dimensions of the Spirit. You're not going to probably get it over TV, all right? I won't go there. But when you come up here, don't be afraid to walk to one of the prayer people. You don't have to tell everybody. Just, you know, I've been having trouble shaking this. I have a fear of this. And by you just coming up, that act of faith. Oh, no, I'm just going to hide in the back. They won't know I had it. Okay. And I hope you get rid of it in a moment in here. But if you don't, you need help. Don't say you're in a hurry. I mean, how many of you have ever sat an hour and a half to 2 hours at a doctor's office past your appointment time because you thought you would get a little help? And we love medical science. We use doctors. Thank God for them. But always remember, they are practicing medicine. We know the great physician. Jesus don't want you to be brokenhearted today. He don't want you to be tormented. He wants you to be free. And dropping this fear is going to, some of you need financial miracles. We said about grace and the glory of God today. That you can go to that realm of the Spirit and God can begin to bless you, but you may have to clear out a little bit, a few things. Sometimes the old well has trash thrown in and we have to clean the well out. Or the old time wells, like they had the French wells in Vietnam. I know all about them. So right now, as I lead you, just as she's playing there, just in your own mind, just recognize, if you have fear, just recognize it. What is it? Is it a bug? Is it a snake? Is it certain people. You fear the face of the man. Have you been, are you fearing authority? You're abused, maybe you're abusing a child. Everybody with authority probably wouldn't abuse a child, but a lot are. But we set people free all the time. Amen. You have no idea the baggage all of us had to lay down to get where we're standing right now today. We've been there. We understand where you are. We love you. We care. Brothers and sisters in the Lord, that's who we are. We're there to help you. If anybody help you, we'll help you. So recognize your fear. Just for a moment, just think. If you don't have any, that's fine. Just you admit it, you pray for the one next to you, maybe. But if you have fear, recognize it. Don't try to hide it. Just think to yourself, yeah, there it is. The next step, confess it as sin. I want you to do this right now. You don't have to scream to the top of your lungs, but vocally. See, speaking is a spiritual law. That's why Jesus said, speak to the mountain. Faith is voice activated. Amen. Meditation, biblical meditation, Joshua 1, revelation, manifestation. You'll never release it from your head. Too many people have in their head, they have a form of godliness, but deny the power thereof. You know, they have a lot of things they can quote, but they can't get it done. They don't do the works of Jesus. So confess it as sin right now. Do it right now. Lord, I confess this fear is a sin. Just name your fear. You don't have to scream it. We're not trying to embarrass you. But right now, just do it in prayer. Recognize it, and Lord, I confess my fear is sin. Lord, deliver the captive. Lord, I ask you to take it away. And I thank you. I thank you what you just did. Recognize it, confess it, ask the Lord to remove it, and thank him for it. I've seen so many miracles that when I minister prayer to someone, and I just have raise your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. When they did, boom, the miracle took place. Amen? Because there's something about being thankful. Thank you, Lord. He loves you. He's your friend. A lot of people, because they had a bad authority figure, maybe a father or mother that mistreated them in life, they picture the Lord with a big hammer ready to squish you, one little mistake. He's not like that. Man, I think how merciful God was to me to keep me alive, to save my soul, to free me from many areas, free me from the fear of men. As Lois said, what she's heard me say over and over, I'm worshiping to an audience of one. I'm going to look that song up on YouTube. I just love that song. We used to play a lot. To audience of one. Audience of one. Amen. He loves you. He cares. In Jesus' name, right now, I command every spirit of fear to leave each person in this sanctuary. Along with every sickness, every disease, every spirit of infirmity, every foul spirit of death, I command you out now. Fear, leave right now. Every source, every symptom. Oh God, give them a sound mind, a wholeness, Lord. Heal the brokenhearted. Deliver the captive. Give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning. God, turn their life around. They don't have to suffer their whole life. They don't have to be tormented their whole life. I command them to be set free in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I release the faith of God. I release the word of God. I release the blood of Jesus in the name of Jesus. I release it. I release it over the sanctuary in Jesus' name. Let your holy fire begin to burn it out. In Jesus' name, as Team Supernatural to take your place. I know some of you in Sunday school, but some are here. Some are AWOL. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Y'all just spread all the way across the front. Hallelujah. These people love you. They're not going to judge you at all. They're not going to go repeat it all over the place and not going on Facebook. But just If you want to be free from fear, as I get ready to turn this over to Pastor Josh, and I appreciate the opportunity to share this with you. Very simple, nothing complicated. The simple gospel of Jesus. But Jesus came for this. Jesus came for you today to free you. Just come on, start coming up. I'll turn it over to Pastor Josh, and I'll be down there to pray also. We'll all be there to minister. Pastor Josh.
Thank you. Who's going to come forward this morning? Who's that speaking to? I know he's speaking to some hearts. Just come on to the front. I know if Jesus was standing up here and it was his disciples that were here and you knew for sure if you could just get close enough, something would change. You would come. I would come. But he uses people. He uses representatives. Doesn't mean that there's anything perfect about these folks, that they're not human beings. But he's always chosen, since he ascended and went back to heaven, he has chosen to leave in his place human representation. Human beings full of his spirit and his presence. So I know there's folks here. I wouldn't ever want to see you miss an opportunity like this. That's why I'm just going to reiterate what Pastor David has already said. This is a moment that you ought not to miss. This world needs you to be free. Your witness to this world is on the line. And fear will keep you from that. It'll keep me from that. So some folks are beginning to be obedient. It's not me, it's the Holy Spirit. I'm just asking the Holy Spirit to do what he needs to do in you and to speak to you. Because when he speaks it, he's the great drawer of the human heart. He can draw us close in ways that human words cannot. Father, I thank you right now. Let's just close our eyes. Father, I thank you. This is a moment, and there's the resistance in the spirit even that we could miss an opportunity to be truly and totally free. I thank you, Lord. I know that you've touched hearts as we stood. I know you touched my heart as I stood where I stood this morning in the very front of this room. But Lord, for those who just still know they need to be in this place of receiving a touch from heaven through the yielded vessel of a believer in you, that they would also make it to the front of this room. And Lord, even now as we close in prayer, that there would be those who would still continue to come forward. Lord, I know there's moments and there's times when you have stirred the water and it is time to do business and to encounter you in a powerful way. And I thank you for this morning's word, that it's your word through a man of God's mouth. But it's your word. And Jesus, we just ask you to seal this time and these words by the Spirit of the living God, that as we leave this place, there would be nothing that would take the truth and the significance of what's been planted in our hearts this morning from us. Father, we thank you that you're not just here with us, but you are with us as we leave, as we go, as we move, and as we live this life. You are always with us to fulfill your word. So, Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for just a special touch over Pastor David and Nolia. Lord, as they have aged in years, yet the anointing and gifting that you've placed within them, it seems to come out fresher and more new and more youthful every time we hear from them. And I thank you, Jesus. It's you that's doing it. And I thank you for an increase over them in finances, in ministry opportunity, that there would be an ability for people to hear what is being spoken by the ears of the Spirit. Lord, you have created us to be able to hear your voice. And to know you as we are known by you. And so, Lord, I pray you continue speaking to us through your word and through the voice of the Spirit as we leave this place today. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. Let's just be thankful this morning. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We thank you that you're faithful. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You have been so good to us. You've held nothing back from us. We thank you, Jesus. Even before we see the manifestation, we thank you, Jesus, because you see the manifestation before it happens. We thank you, Jesus, that you can see the fulfillment of your promise before we see it. We thank you, Jesus. Help us to see what you see, Lord. We thank you, Father, for seeing eyes and for hearing ears. Eyes that see what you see. You see only good. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Forever. We thank you for forever, Jesus. Oh, we thank you, Jesus. You are so faithful to us. So faithful to us, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Come on up, folks. There's lines. Just begin to move to the front. If you're in the front of the aisle, can you move in to the front? Come to the middle so folks behind you can make it to the front. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.